They've changed the screen of Zoom by me. Have they changed it by you as well a little bit? Even when the record thing comes up, it's changed. And when it says there's 10 minutes left, it's also in a different place now. No, it hasn't changed by you? Okay.
Thing is the same.
Okay. Let's go from the Gemara again. Tana Rabbanon, about 12 or 13 lines from the bottom of the Gemara. Tana Rabbanon. Omer bedine momenes nizdakein hadin. Literally translated, when it comes to momenes, there exists the concept of nizdakein hadin. If we translate that, the din became old, aged, from the word zokin. Ve'ein omer bedine nefashes nizdakein hadin. But you would not say that with regard to din and nefashos. Now, what does that mean? Mine is that din. What does that mean that the din became old? What does that mean? It became old. How did it become old? Says the Gemara. Ilema kash dina. So Rashi explained that kash literally means elderly. If you're telling me that the din became very difficult. And there is a principle, as Rashi explained, therefore, we've got to wait and wait and push it off and delay our judgment. Well, that seems very strange. Why would you do so only for dini mamonos? To the contrary, you should do so for nefashis. Says the Gemara, Ipcha mi boyale, surely it should be the other way around. Remember, we're always trying to push off dini nefashis more than dini mamonos. So why is the Gemara saying that nizdakein adin, if a din becomes aged and difficult and hard, you should push off the psak halacha in dinei momonos and not in dinei nefashos? Surely would have said the other way around. Yes.
I've been thinking about this question last night, and if you're looking at results, then the argument makes sense because you'd say that, to put someone to death because it's a dinei nefashos issue, that's a difficult issue. But maybe they're talking about complications. The dinei nefashos is quite, it's cut and dry. Were you there? Did you see him kill him? He killed him. It's not complicated. But dinei momonos can be very complicated. What was the shtar? What did it say? It can get very, very, very difficult and complicated. So if you don't look at which is the worst and more severe results, then it makes sense. It only the question only makes sense if you're thinking that dinei nefashos is more difficult because it's a much more severe consequence. But dinei momonos could be a much more difficult to testimony.
Okay, I hear that. I hear that. Have a look. The Gemara gives an alternative answer. Says Rashi, there's one more Rashi before we continue. Ipcha mi boyale, surely the other way around would make sense. But dine nefashos, surely tzarech la'ayin yoisa. Surely you have to check the din of dine nefashos much more. We're dealing with a much more severe case. So the Gemara's first answer is Omar Rav Ahuna bar Manoach Mishmei de Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ika Epoch. One word answer. We saw this yesterday. Epoch. Epoch. You're right. This must have been misrepresented, and it's Epoch. Really, it should be the other way around. And in fact, Epoch. You're right. When it comes to Dine Nefashos, that's where we should say is Dakin Dina and Dine Momonos, not so. However, Rav Ashi Omer lo'olam lo teipuch. No, you do not need to turn it around, and you can keep it exactly as we had it. That we would say this principle of nizdakein hadin only in the case of momonos and not in the case of nefashos. What does that mean? Umay nizdakein hadin chocham dina. Chacham dina, the din is wise. What does that mean? The din is wise. Look at Rashi. Chacham dina, yofa he'emadnu al buriyov. We have set it up very well. At what point do we say that yes, we are satisfied with the psak and it's yofeh hemadna? We have set it up well and we're pleased with the results. Ve'ein echod mimenu, and none of us need tzorich La hapeich v'ladak deik boi. None of us needs to really turn over the world. None of us needs to be over keen to double check. Because when it comes to mominus, we get to our conclusion and we say, Yafa, fine, great, that sounds very plausible, and we think we've done the right thing, and there's no need now to revisit it. The Ein Oimrim Kein Bedini Nefashos. This, however, is not the case when Yedino Dini Nefashos. She'af Mishe Gomruhu, because even at such point that there's a Gemar Din, but there's always a recourse. Im Yedakte Ko Echad, if somebody will now re-examine the Din, the Yimtzoloi Zechus, and you will find for him a Zechus, Machzir Nesad Din, you can bring the Din back. So it turns out that what has it been Nizdakin Hadin? Not what we thought in the beginning, Nizdakin Hadin, the din's very old and difficult and we need to re-examine it. To the contrary, Nizdakin like a Chochem, Zokin Shekono Chochmo. Nizdakin Hadin means the din is wise and old. When do we say that the din is wise and old? Only in the case of Mominus. We get to result, we're pleased with the results, case now adjourned. Finished, that's the psak. Not so, however, in the case of Dini Nefashos, even when we get to a Gemara Din, but if somebody is able, all at the last hour, the 20, what's it called, the 12th hour, if somebody is all of a sudden able to say, ah, one second, I think I have a Zechus, then we will bring back the Din. So the Din never ages. It's never too old. That's what it means, that we only say in the case of Mominus, Nizdakin Hadin, but we do not say that in the case of Nefashos. In Nefashos, the case is never too old and it can always be revisited. Says the Gemara, one second. Meisvei. We have a kasha from a braisa. What's the kasha? Godoil Shebedayonim. The greatest of the Dayonim, Oimer Nizdakin Hadin. It is the greatest of the Dayanim who is able to say that the din has become wise, as it were, has become elderly. Now, what does that mean? I omrat bishloima chocham dino. Remember, we had two possibilities as what does it mean is that in hadin? Does it mean the din has become old and too difficult and we need to examine it again and again? Or the exact opposite? Chacham Dina, in fact, means that the din has become old and we're happy with the results and just leave it. Now, which direction does this Brisa seem to take us to? The Brisa says that the Godel Shebedayonin says Nizdakin Hadin. So, I Omrat Bishloime Chacham Dina. If you tell me like the second pshat, the Nizdakin Adin means Chocham Dina, the din has become wise and we're happy with the results. Well, that's very good. Hainu do Omar Godoil. That's why it's the Godoil, the most senior of the Dayonim, who hereby declares, okay, Moira Evaraboisai, this is the final psak. Remember, we're dealing with Mominus, and that's it. Nizdakin Adin, it's case adjourned or case ended. This is a psak. Elai omrat kash dino. But if you go with the first pshat, that what? That nizdakin adin did not mean that we're happy with the results. It meant to the contrary, it's old, it's hard, it's difficult, and we need to continue looking into it. So why is it only the godel? Loi sagia de loi omar godel. Must it necessarily be the Godel who says that? Why can't any Dayan propose that this din is very complicated? Remember we said it's referring to din in Nefashos. So anybody in the case of din in Nefashos can say, this is very, very hard and it needs to be continued. If you're talking about ending the case, well, obviously that needs seniority. So it's a Godel who will announce. That's it. The Dini Mominus is all finished. But according to the first pshat, we're not talking about Dini Mominus, we're talking about Dini Nefashos. And Kash Dina means that it's hard, it needs to be re-examined. And surely anybody can say that. Why Dafka the Godel? Says the Gemara, Kisufei hu dekomichsif nashe. How do they translate that with you, Reb Larry? He is, it's embarrassing. He's ashamed, correct?
Yeah. He's
Why?
embarrassed that the court cannot reach a decision.
Right. Ain Sufi with
What?
the progressive
So
Nashba.
he's making an excuse like the reason we couldn't make a decision is because it's so difficult.
Right. This is all part of the question. Why does it have to be the God? Why can't anybody say, well, they're embarrassed to say we haven't come to a conclusion? Why can't one of the Dayanim say, excuse me, I can't write quite collect my thoughts. We need to now continue this din. Says the Gemara in Einoi Doime Mispayesh Me'atzmoi L'Mispayesh Me'achirim. You cannot compare being embarrassed from yourself as it were being embarrassed from others. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Toivu. Better that he should embarrass himself. If the Godel says that we need to continue looking at this din, okay, so he's putting himself to shame. What is he saying? That we can't come to a conclusion. Better that way, va'al yoimar echad mechaveiroi kashdina. Better that than one of the junior dayonim should challenge his authority and say, excuse me, Av Bezdin, I don't think we've come to a satisfactory conclusion. The yisvayish me'achirim. And that way, the Godel of the Bezdin has not embarrassed himself. Rather, he's been embarrassed by others. And therefore, even if Nizdakin Adin means Kash Din, it's an announcement that we need to continue looking in this case, it's better that the Godel Hadin says it, Dafka the Godel, so that he shouldn't be embarrassed by anybody else.
Does Kash Din mean that it needs further investigation or we can't figure it out?
Same thing. Because we can't figure it out, therefore we've got to keep chewing it over. We cannot come to a conclusion, and therefore.
Well, one is saying I can't do it, and one is saying it needs more work. I think there is a difference. And to say it needs more work, why is that embarrassing? To say I can't figure it out, that's I can understand as embarrassing.
So Rashi says in Kash Dinah, it's kosher, it's too deep for us. That's why we can't figure it out. That's why we can't come to a conclusion. And that's embarrassing. You're supposed to be a Talmid Chacham, you're supposed to know your stuff. Why is it that you can't come to a conclusion? So, yes, it is a little bit embarrassing, but at least it's better he should say so himself than to be challenged by one of the junior Dayanim to say, oh, excuse me, Godel, I don't think you've come to a satisfactory conclusion. This seems to be too hard for you.
Rebbe, in piggybacking to what Nachum is saying, the whole time the Gemara is trying to tell us the Torah wants us to really weigh out the idea that you're about to put someone to death. This is a very, very, very heavy thing. So is that embarrassing to say we couldn't come to an easy decision? Adrabba, it shows humility. This is a major thing we're trying to figure out here, and it's difficult for us. We're not embarrassed. It should be like a badge of honor that we're not rushing to judgment. So I kind of agree with Nachum here that I don't understand why it's embarrassing. I'm a gadol ador, kilu, lahavdil, and I'm telling you, it's not an easy decision.
There's a difference between not an easy decision as opposed to saying I'm unable to come to a conclusion. It's too hard for me. Rashi didn't say because of the severity of it. Rashi says because it's kosher and therefore v'omek. It's too deep for us. That was a
So
lashon of
he's
Rashi.
admitting def so it's more admitting defeat than saying I need to go
It's
back.
admitting, right? It's not recognizing the severity of the case. It's admitting a certain deficiency. This knowledge, this case is too hard for me. Too difficult for me. Which, by the way, the Ponovitch Arov, the great Ponovitch Arov, was once approached by a Talmid. And the Talmid said, I've just been offered a position to become a Rav. What does the Ponovitch Arov think? Should I take it or should I not take it? So the Ponovitch Rav, in his great genius, says, oh, that's a very hard question. I need to think about it. In the meanwhile, you should go into this room over here, please. Wait whilst I make a decision and say to yourself 1,000 times, I don't know. Tolman was a little bit shocked. He went into the room. He said, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." Eventually, he came out and he said to the Politburo, "Fine, I followed your instruction. I said to myself 1,000 times that I don't know." Said the Politburo, "Great. Now you can become a Rav." In other words, the concept of saying in yideya is 100% valid and legitimate and necessary. Poisek, a Rav, has to be able to say, "I don't know." And that's really what the Ponovitch Rav meant to teach him all along. Of course, the Ponovitch Rav wasn't ready to make a decision. But just get used to saying, "I don't know." Beware of the Rav who always thinks he knows. A Rav might say, "Either this is not my tchum bichlal, I don't have knowledge in this area." Or he may say, "I do have knowledge in this area, but I need to reconsider it. It's very, very difficult." It's actually the very first Mishnah in Ovis. The Anshe Knesset HaGdoila taught us, Heve Mesunim Badin. To be deliberate in judgment. Don't rush. Person rushes into judgment. So then, number one, you can make a mistake. Number two, it's like a type of Bizoyen HaTorah. Imagine if Chas V'Shalom, somebody was extremely ill, and he's now got to make a major, major decision. Should he undergo brain surgery? So he goes up to a doctor and says, "I'd like to discuss something with you. Unfortunately, I'm extremely, extremely ill, and I've got a life and death decision. Should I have surgery A and surgery B?" And the doctor says, "Yeah, I think you should have surgery B." What would the patient think? Not only will the patient think, "Well, if he made a decision so quickly, maybe he made a mistake," but I would also feel very insulted. If you make a decision that quickly, well, clearly you're not respecting my health. My health is not important to you. It doesn't warrant, in your opinion, a bit of time and thought and investment of consideration. No, a snap decision. So the same thing is therefore when a person makes a snap decision on Torah, number one, practically, he may well make a mistake. But number two, it's not just a question of making a mistake, it's a bizoyen HaTorah. It's a bizoyen just to be able to shoot back an answer without considering it, unless, by the way, it's Dvarim Mufuroshim. If it's Dvarim Mufuroshim, then to the contrary, Chazal say, Shiyehei Mechudodim Beficha. It should be sharp at the end of your tongue. So if somebody asks you a Shaila in Hilchos Shabbos, which is Dvarim Mufuroshim, it's an explicit Sif in Shulchan Aruch or Mishnah Berurah, yes, then you should say, "Well, here it is, chapter and verse." But if it's something that needs to be thought about, it needs to be weighed up, it's not something which is explicit, then you say at the moment, "I don't know, I need to revisit it, I'll get back to you."
By the way, we learned this from Moshe Rabbeinu with Benos Tlavchad.
Right. Moshe Rabbeinu on several occasions says, "I don't know." Right. Slavchad, Pesach Sheni, the Mekoshesh. He said, "I'm sorry, I'm not sure, I have to consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu."
Rashi says it a bunch of times also.
That was.
I don't know. Rashi says in the verse.
Yeah. That's an even bigger chiddush because had Rashi not been so modest, he wouldn't have needed to write that at all. The very fact he wrote, "I don't know," he's announcing that he didn't know.
What
There's
do you
no.
do if you're, what do you do if you're a person that's all you ever say is I don't know, which is God, how
Correct.
I live my life. I have no idea.
Well, I remember when I joined the Kollel once, it was a very high-level Kollel, fantastic Avreichim. They brought in a Rosh Kollel. He was a Talmud Chacham, and he was very modest. And people used to ask him different questions in the Gemara, and very often, "Yeah, I don't know, I don't know." And someone said, "Wow, it's amazing. He's so modest." Very often he says he doesn't know. And somebody says, "That's wonderful, but I'd much rather have a Rosh Kabura who does know." Now, after all, like you say, he says, "I don't know all day," then Tzaddik. There does exist a concept, which I'm sure we've discussed in the in previous occasions, that where there is nobody to turn to, then that person will automatically get Siyata Dishmaya, even if he doesn't know. There is a very famous story. I'll tell you two stories. One story is recorded by the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer writes this story in his Tshuvas in Yerideh, and he says, "I'm aware of a story with a great Rav. Now, he does not write who the Rav is, but tradition has it that he's referring to his own Rebbe, the Baal Panim Yafis. The Baal Panim Yafis, it doesn't say who it is, it just says there was a great Rav who was asked the following Shaila. There was an enormous pot of milk that was cooking on a fire, and a live chicken flew into the milk, splat into the hot milk. Chicken obviously died, burnt. They took out the chicken, and the question was, are you now allowed to drink the milk? Hope you've all had breakfast. So this Rav paskened, no, you're not allowed to drink the milk. Why? Because it's basar b'chalav. There was no shishim. And as we know, basar b'chalav, you've got to throw it out. Not only can you not eat it, you can't have any benefit from it. You can't even give it to a goy. So therefore, he instructed them to throw it out. So the Chasam Sofer writes that all of a sudden, everybody realized, whoops, he's made a terrible mistake. Why has he made a terrible mistake? Because it's true that basar b'chalav is asa ba'achila, and it's also asa ba'hanah, but that's only when it's meat that comes from an animal. Meat that comes from a bird, which is only asa midrabanan, is only forbidden ba'achila and not ba'hanah. This wasn't an animal that fell into the milk, it was a bird, it was a chicken. So yes, the Rav was correct, you can't eat it, but why on earth did he paskin and you have to throw it out and you can't even give it to goyim? It's not asa b'hanah. They could have sold it, made a good money, and sold it to goyim. This is what they pointed out to the Rav. So on the spot, the Rav said, ah, that's true. But don't forget that when this chicken landed in the milk, it was alive, had not been shechted. Which means that in addition to the issa of basar b'chalav, there's also absorptions in the milk of Eva min achai. And Eva min achai is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and therefore it's also to Goyim as well. So the Chasam Sofer writes there in the Tshuva, it was absolutely clear to all present that that's not what he had in mind in the beginning. In other words, Ba'etzim, he made a mistake. But he had siyata d'shmaya to paskin the right thing nonetheless. He said, throw it out because he thought it was basar b'chalav. He forgot that it wasn't basar behemoth, basar oif. It turns out it was the right psak, but for the wrong reason. An incredible story. There's another story also with my Hele Gezeda, the Chasam Sofer. There was a woman who found herself in the tragic situation of being an aguna. Her husband had disappeared without trace, and as we know, an aguna is the one of the hardest shaylas to paskin. We would like to permit this woman to remarry, otherwise she's stuck forever, but we have to be absolutely sure the husband is indeed dead. Many great rabbonim and gedolei Yisrael in Europe were asked, and none of them could come to a conclusion. None of them felt that the evidence was strong enough to allow her to remarry. So a telegram was sent to the Chasam Sofer describing the details of the story. He read the Shaila, he sat down, and immediately he wrote a tshuva, it's permitted for her to get married. And he told his son, the Ksav Sofer, please now send this back in the mail to this particular woman who's waiting for an answer. A few hours later, the Chasam Sofer came back and he saw that the letter had not been delivered. So he asked his son, Ksav Sofer, why didn't you send the letter back as I instructed? And before the Ksav Sofer could answer, the Chasam Sofer said, ah, is it because you were worried that I wrote this very quickly? And maybe I made a mistake. Is that why you didn't send the letter? And the Ksav Sofer says, to be perfectly honest, my great father, yes, I was a bit worried. This is a huge question, which actually I've heard that Gedolei Europe have been debating and they couldn't come to a conclusion. You got this telegram and that's on the spot. Yeah, I was worried that maybe there was a mistake. So the Chasam Sofer gave two answers. He says to his son, number one, when I learned Shas, obviously hundreds of times. As I learn it, I think of every possible scenario and every possible permutation that might emerge from the Gemara. So this particular scenario that's being described in the telegram, I've thought about it before. So don't accuse me of just scribbling off a tshuva without giving it thought. I've given it thought because I've thought about it in the past, number one. Number two, and this is why I'm sharing the story with you, said the Chasam Sofer, a phenomenal thing that only the Chasam Sofer could say. He says, in every generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants the Gadol HaDor, the Pesach HaDor, where the hardest questions that cannot be answered by more junior Gedolim end up at his desk. And that Gadol HaDor is the final stop. There is no one else now that it can be referred to. There is no more senior authority. He is the most senior authority. Because of that, this Gadol HaDor has extra Siyata Dishmaya. He cannot make a mistake. Why can't he make a mistake? Because there's no other alternative. There's no one else to refer it to. He said it would seem to be that in our generation, that person is me. And if that person is me, you have nothing to fear. Don't worry. There's no chance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow a mistake to emerge from my writings. And you can be rest assured that whatever I paskened was 100% correct. Okay, that's a phenomenal story. That's a story for Gedolei HaDor. But for a regular person, a regular Rav who's answering shailas, of course, we have that mandate, having masunim badin, and you have to be able to say, I don't know, I need to think about it, I need to consult, I need to double check, whatever it may be. Okay, back into the Gemara, says the Gemara, Ikka d'Omri. Some had the question the other way around. E omrit b'shloime kashti. No. If you say that Nizdakin Adin means kashdin, it's too hard. And it needs to be reconsidered, so then I understand. I know that's why the Gadol has to do it. It's better to announce himself that it's too hard than somebody else pointing it out to him. Ela e omrit chacham dina. But if you say it's chacham dina, which means that, well, the din is very wise and we're very happy with the results. So what's this Gadol saying? The Gadol's patting himself on the back. Oh, I'm very happy with the results here. I'm rather pleased with myself. Ashbuche mashpech nafshe. Is that what the Gadol is announcing? Moirai, I'm extremely satisfied with the results. I'd like to have a public pat on my back because I think we came to the right conclusion. That's what's going on. The Gadol has to announce that. That doesn't sound very humble. Ay, boxi. Doesn't it say it's a Poshukim Mishlei? Yahalel Chozar. Maybe let somebody else praise you. Bavloi Picho, don't praise yourself. Let somebody else say, yes, Gadol HaDor, Gadol HaBezdin. Yes, this tzak is wonderful. I think it's an excellent conclusion. Rather than him patting himself on his back. Says the Gemara, no. Shani Milsa Debei Dinah. When you're talking about matters of Bezdin, that's different. It's true. As a general rule, let other people praise you. You don't praise yourself. But when it comes to Bezdin, everything, agodol ramya. Everything is incumbent on the Godel. Everything he has to take charge, including praising the din. Kedetanan, as we've learned in Mishnah, gomru es hadovo. When they reach the conclusion, oyson, godel, it's the godel of the dayanim who now brings them all back in. Oima ish ploini ato zakai, or ish ploini ato chayev. He's the one who's got to formally declare what the psak of the bezdin is. Why? Why does it make a difference if he says it, somebody else has said it? It's just a formality. So I see that everything that goes through the bezdin has to be announced by the Godel. So therefore, it's not a question of praising himself or not praising himself. Look at the very last Rashi. A Godel Ramya, afilu dvarim shel shvach. Even those words of compliment, like over here, we're saying, oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm satisfied with the din. Who Oimron, he has to be the one to announce it, because when it comes to the Bezdin, everything goes through him. Hadron, Aloch, Hoyu, Boitkin, Boruch Hashem, Mazel Tov, Roif Siata Deshmaya. We've been zoicha to finish the fifth parak of Sanhedrin. We have 6 minutes and 18 seconds left. So without further ado, I think we should immediately begin now the sixth parak. Mr.
Will
Hashem.
we be doing any chazara?
Yes, Mr. Hashem.
So
Can
for us in Chavrusa land, should we now go forward, or
Keep going until the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. You see the Mishnah of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph?
yeah.
Okay, so it's basically a daf. So we're going to learn this daf, and then Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, Bli Neder, we'll go back and do a Chazara. So let's begin the parak.
Where does
Yeah.
the oh sorry. Where does the Chazara start from?
The
Is
Chazara
it
will
the
start
beginning?
from where we began this Zman, which is Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, about 12 lines or 15 lines from the bottom, where it says Echad Oimer.
Okay.
First word on the line, Omrinon.
Mem Aleph Amud Aleph.
Mem Aleph on the base.
Off our base. Okay.
Okay, so let's make a brief start, at least to the next parak. Nigmar Hadin. So finally, Moirai V'Raboisei, after several months, I think we can actually say years by now, we've reached the Gmar Din. We've learned all the sugyas of the Eidos and how you cross-examine them, how you review them. Finally, now we've got to the Gmar Din. So Moirai V'Raboisei, we are now moving on. We're now moving on to discuss more the practicalities and the halacha of carrying out the death sentence. Nigmar adin, the din has now come to a conclusion. Says Rashi, one word, Nigmar adin lechoiva. Nigmar adin lechoiva. So we've come to a conclusion, and unfortunately, tragically, the conclusion is that he's chayev. So now we need to carry on with the death sentence. Now, as we know, and we'll see, we're going to discuss this extensively. There are a number of different ways of killing somebody, depending on what Avera it was. But we launch into Skila. Moitzi in You take him out of the Bezdin to stone him. Now, why are we beginning this discussion with Skila? So look at Rashi. Moitzi in Idi, because the Skila. Reisha is the first one of Kulu Arba Misaisu. We're going to see later on that there is a hierarchy, but Skila is the first of the four Misais. So that's why Mefaresh Mili Dido Bereisha. So that's why we first explain all of its halachas. V'hodar, and only then Mefaresh Shara B'Pirkin D'Lakamon. And then later on, we'll explain and go into detail of the other ones later on in our perek. Kaseda one by one. So it's not just random that we began with Skila, but Skila is in fact the first of the four, and that's why we're beginning with that. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Be'ez Hashem Yisborach, we'll continue all being well tomorrow morning.